We're going to come to the scriptures now. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 21. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee. Who were the sons of Zebedee? James and John. And two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Isn't that lovely? Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, it appears they went off for a walk together. It comes later, but we won't read that bit. So Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Thanks be to God for the scriptures. Let's pray together. We pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us where we are. Whatever we're going through right now, I pray very gently you would speak into our lives. Lord, for those of us that need your restoration particularly, I pray, by your Spirit, come and minister to us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I've called this sermon "The Restoration of the Master Craftsman." In the bit just before the passage that we read, it says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And many people believe that John's Gospel finished there at the end of chapter 20, and the story we've just heard was written later. They don't know whether it was written by the same person or somebody else, but they think it was it feels like John ends and then it goes again, which is, have a look at it yourselves when you get home. You think, oh yeah, that's quite an interesting point. And the point of John's Gospel is what he says, is that These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We're supposed to have life in his name. Life in all its fullness. And I kind of think that the story we just heard about Peter, particularly, is about Jesus helping Peter, restoring Peter, so that he can live the life that Jesus called him to. So that he didn't live the rest of his life feeling like a failure. Now, have you ever felt like a failure? I know some of you have felt like a failure. I know many folks spend a lot of time thinking, I wish I'd been this, or I wish I'd done that, or I wish I hadn't let God down then, and all that sort of thing. Well, I think this story has got a lot to teach us about how Jesus, not only how Jesus restored Peter, but how he can restore us too. Even you. Even today. Do you need restoring? I wonder. It's been a hard old time, hasn't it? With COVID, Brexit, now we've got to pay the earth for our gas, and we've got a war on our doorsteps. These are difficult days, and sometimes they can feel very burdensome. Well, let's see what this is all about. So, there are three scenes where Jesus restores Peter. There's a fishing scene. There's a breakfast scene, and there's a walking scene. Did you notice that in the story? So we've got the fishing scene, the breakfast scene, and the walking scene. And tangent here. How many of you have seen this on telly? This has to be my favourite programme in a long, long time. And I've been watching it for several years. I bet you haven't, but I have. The Repair Shop. And I just love it. And it's about master craftsmen taking items that have been left and to ruin. And they take hold of these things. They do wonderful things with them. And before I got my pneumonia, I was in... I used to go to the gym quite often, and I'd be on the treadmill with my headphones in, and I'd watch this programme, and I don't know what anyone else thought, but I'm watching this programme, and quite commonly there'd be tears pouring down my from my eyes. And, you know, I don't know what other people running next to me were thinking, but there's me. These are master craftsmen and women restoring broken, bruised and battered items. Don't know his name, but he's great, isn't he, that one? Steve. And I couldn't help but see the parallel between the master craftsman Jesus and the master craftsman in the repair shop. There is Jesus. Jesus is the one that knows us intimately and knows that we need to be restored. And there we've got in the repair shop, we've got, I'd use that parallel to help us understand this scripture. I hope you don't mind that. I hope that doesn't seem inappropriate. So, back to these three scenes. And the first scene, the fishing scene. Now, I want you to take a moment, okay? I want you to imagine that we're there, okay? We've been in the boat all night. It's been a long night, and we haven't caught anything. We're tired. It's been dark. I mean, it's early morning, and the sun is just coming up. And every time you were in the boat and you were fishing, this was the time of morning that you loved, and the sun was coming up. Now, just be there in the boat. Just breathe that. And you see that figure of Jesus, or someone, a figure in the distance, on the shore. Imagine you're Jesus, looking out at the boat, early in the morning. Beautiful scene. Breathe in that air. There's nothing like a new morning, is there? Nothing like a new morning, looking out to sea, or standing on a hill, or something like that. And there's something about this scene that I think Jesus uses to restore Peter. Now, how does the story goes on? That they get closer, and the figure, it's just a figure at this moment, says, "Hi guys, how you doing? Caught anything?" I bet, can you imagine the reaction of the fisherman? "Caught anything?" We haven't caught anything. "Now throw your net out on the other side." Oh yeah, sure. But they do it, and suddenly fish start bubbling away. And now what goes on in Peter's head at that moment? Been here before. Wow. This. I remember a long time ago that this Jesus called me to come and follow him. And exactly this same sort of miracle happened back then in the day. And what I thought was, what is Jesus doing here? He's reminding Peter of his calling. He's taking him back to a simpler time to remind him of the simplicity of his faith. Because since then, so much had happened, hadn't it? And he'd failed Jesus, and he hadn't been the sort of person he'd hoped he was be. I thought it was a bit like this. Come to the master craftsman. Now, this isn't from the programme, but this illustrates something. But I've seen them do this on the programme. They took a piece of art that was grimy and great. You could hardly see the picture. And then the master craftsman starts to get rid of the grime. I don't know how they do it, using all sorts of techniques, and to get rid of the grime. And suddenly the colours of the true picture started to shine through underneath. And really quite extraordinary, the difference between before and after. And I thought, one way, if we need to be restored, sometimes for us, life has thrown a lot at us, hasn't it? Has it thrown a lot at you over the years? I bet it has. And it's like layers and layers and layers of grime. And church can be like that. Sorry, it's true, isn't it? That church can be like layers of tough stuff that we go through sometimes in church. I was talking to somebody just this morning, before I came here, about... That was their experience of church right now is really tough, and that can take its toll on us, on our faith. How does Jesus restore us? One, he begins by saying, "Do you remember what you were when I first called you? Do you remember what it was like when I first called you? Do you remember the simplicity of your faith? Do you remember what it was like to stand on the edge of the ocean and look out and to be filled with my love and my spirit? Do you remember that? Do you remember what it was like?" I'd love you to take a moment, turn to somebody next year. This is quite threatening, isn't it? And say to them, don't worry if this isn't your experience, but say to them, this is when I first heard the call of Jesus in my life. If that doesn't mean anything to you, don't worry, turn to somebody else. On your marks, get set, go. Just have that quick conversation. Find out, when did you first come to know Jesus? If you did. Some of you are looking very worried at me now. I'm going to put you out of your misery. Have that conversation later. So the first scene from this story was the... How does Jesus restore? I think one way of him restoring us is take us back to the beginning. Take us back to that first faith. Take us back to the simplicity of faith, when you didn't have all the worries of the world on your shoulders. For me, it was when I was 14 and I was on the Norfolk Broads. And I looked up at the universe and I said, "Well, okay, I think you might be there. Let's see what happens." Second. So the first picture was the fishing picture. Then the story moves on to breakfast. Ah, breakfast. You can't beat a good fry up, can you? And this is I love this scene of the group of the disciples sitting around Jesus. It wasn't only Peter who had let Jesus down, was it? It was all of them, the whole bunch of them. should have felt ashamed that they'd let Jesus down. And yet they're all with him at breakfast. What was the fact that Jesus was having breakfast with them? What did it say to them, do you think? Tell me, what do you think? How do you think they felt? Forgiveness? That they were loved?
Accepted.
These are all the words I've got in my sermon here. Loved, accepted. They discover that despite having let Jesus down, perhaps again and again, they are still beloved. Beloved, accepted, cherished, forgiven. They still have a place at Jesus' table. So much of what Jesus did happened around the table. This was Jesus' ministry. All the people that didn't think that they had anything, they could have any place in a religious context, Jesus loved to eat with them, didn't he? He wanted them to know that they were loved and accepted. They had a place in his kingdom too. Who's this bloke?
Will.
And I was thinking about how these guys restore things. It is totally brilliant, isn't it? And what I've observed is quite often they restore things, but they leave some of the blemishes. Have you noticed that? It's quite often there's a bit of rust, or I can see a bit of damage on that thing there, that they kind of leave it so that the restored item is, it's more than just made as it was. It's more than that. And the skill of the master craftsman is in healing that particular item and bringing it back to something like it was in the past. And I think my connection with the story here again is that I think that the master craftsman who is Jesus is about this around the breakfast scene. It's about it's about them being healed and restored, and knowing that they, despite all of the damage that has been done to them or they've done over the years, despite all of, oh, I'm nearly hitting you, aren't I? I'm sorry. despite all of that, that Jesus still has a place for us. That's very powerful, isn't it? So what have we got? We've got the fishing scene. Yeah. What's the fishing scene about?
Taking you back,
remembering your call from the past. This is Jesus restoring us as well. So I encourage you to think about when you first believed. The second thing is Jesus saying, you know, no matter what you've done, you are never beyond the pale of my love. You always have a place at my table. Hear that? You have a place at the table with Jesus. I got contemplating this. Do you think Jesus made the bread? There wasn't Tesco's. Was there? Do you think before they all turned up, he was sitting, and it would have been a flat bread, wouldn't it? How do you make flat bread? That's flour and water. Anything else? Bit of oil? No? Yeah, bit of oil. Yeah. Jesus, fancy being served a bit of fish in a rolled up something bread that Jesus made. Pretty cool, eh? Okay. And then, but Jesus does, you might think just to be healed that's enough, but Jesus, particularly with Peter, doesn't. Peter, if you remember back to the beginning of the story, Peter is you can feel the tension in Peter. Did you hear that in the story? He doesn't know what to do with himself. They've gone back to Galilee. He's seen the risen Jesus, but he's not happy. He knows he's let Jesus down three times. He's denied Jesus. And he said, no, they all might deny you, but I'll never deny you. He's filled with remorse and he just can't sit still. So they go out fishing and it's familiar territory for him. Jesus has got quite a hard job to recover Peter. And then we have the walking scene along the beach. And Jesus just very, these are quite pointed words, aren't they? And he says three times. And why does he say it three times? Because he denied him three times. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know. Yeah. And he says, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, take care of my lambs. What's he saying to Peter? He's saying, Peter, not only are you accepted, but I've still got a job for you. I still believe in you. Hear the power of those words. Even when we failed Jesus, that Jesus comes back and he says, I still believe in you. Because I've got this job for you to do, and I know that you love me, and this is the task that I'm giving you. And in the repair shop, the powerful moment, the golden moment, nearly always is when they hand back the item, and they can't believe how wonderful it's been restored. And tears quite often flow, and this man's in tears, hearing his dad's guitar being played again. And it seems to me the best of these stories are when it's not just, oh, that's nice, and it goes on the shelf somewhere, but that's nice, we can reuse it, we can use it again. He can play the guitar, there's a song to be, that guitar can be strummed again, there's a song to be sung again in our lives, in our lives. As I think of myself, so I'm retiring at the end of July. I know I'm too young, I am too young, I'm retiring slightly early. I don't know what's next. I haven't got any great... quite often I prepare a sermon and it kind of speaks to you. And I think, okay, Lord, so what is it? And I don't know. I don't know. It's out there. And sometimes it's not... we sometimes think, well, it's going to be this big thing that we've got to go... Actually, often for most of it, it's just very ordinary stuff. I have a kind of a thing that I have in my mind, that this is what Jesus asks of me, is to live simply, live kindly, live thankfully, and live courageously. Those four things: live simply, live kindly, live thankfully, and live courageously. And if you ask me, Colin, what's your purpose? I think that's my purpose. There might be more specifics in there somewhere, but I don't know what that looks like. But I think we can do pretty well by following those four things: simply, kindly, thankfully, and courageously. Peter was restored by going back to his calling, by experiencing forgiveness, acceptance, love, and restored by knowing that Jesus still believed in him and he repurposed him for the next part of his life. Some of you need restoring. You will do. In every congregation that will be true. Some of you need restoring. So let's pray. Lord, I pray for my friends here and myself. Lord, if we need that restoration this morning, we just take a moment to remind ourselves of your calling upon our lives, when you said, come follow me. And it might be that somebody here hasn't ever heard that call, and I pray even this morning that they would hear that invitation. But Lord, you take us back to that moment, to a simpler time, and we just thank you, Lord, that actually faith isn't supposed to be complex, it's supposed to be simple. And we put our hands in your hand again, and say we trust you. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness, your acceptance, that we are beloved, that we have a place at your table. And I pray that we would also know that you believe in us for another thing, whatever that might be. It might be the simplest of things, but I pray that you would firm that up in our hearts. Lord, we bring all this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.